This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back live at Nationals Park ahead of opening day 2025, Grant and Danny with you on the Fan. Charlie and Dave pregame in 35 minutes. First pitch in just over 1 hour. The show today and every day is brought to you by our friends, the law firm Condori and Murad. They will help you draft your last will and testament, set up a trust, or put together a medical power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their attorneys today at kmlawyers.com, and be sure to tell them we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. They're based over in Fairfax. They went to Mason. Local guys, big DC sports fans, and good buddies of ours. Speaking of friends of the show, the manager of the Nationals, Davey Martinez, joins us now in the dugout. Davey, we were just talking. You have been taking part in opening days professionally since 1987. And I got to imagine, as you sit here today, a manager of a ball team that you once guided to a World Series, you have the same feeling today as you did almost 40 years ago.
Absolutely. You know, I often, you know, feel those butterflies, you know, when we're on that line. So, but it's a lot of fun. You know, this year it seems like it's a little different because I guess still got so many young guys that this is their first opening day. So, you know, I'm pulling for them. I'm feeling for them. So it'll be exciting.
For so many of us that grew up here without this, without the Nationals, without baseball here in D.C., I don't think we take it for granted yet. Maybe one day we will when I'm old and gray, but it still feels special to us, too. I bet you can kind of feel that from the fans.
Oh, 100%. I mean, I, you know, we talked a little bit about all the years I spent in Montreal and everything, but this city, this, you know, this area here, man, I love it. I love the fans. They're really big sports fans, as we all know. But the baseball fans that we have are incredible. It really is. And to be able to open up here at home, it means a lot to me and the guys.
Davey Martinez live at Nats Park ahead of the first pitch of the 2025 season. How much does it add to the experience that the home opener is opening day and that the weather's pretty good? It's going to be a little chilly, but it's sunny and there's no rain in the forecast, which I thought was against the rules here for the opener.
Yeah, it's actually beautiful out, so that's a plus. You know, I was just talking to Wood on the cage by the cages. He said to me, I said, hey, where were you last year this time? He was freezing in Rochester. It was snowing. Yeah. I said, yeah, exactly. So think about it. So he's pumped up. So, you know, we're excited that, you know, we get to open up at home. It's awesome. It means a lot to us.
How do guys deal with the butterflies? It's such a grind. It's 162. You guys have already been going at it for a couple of months now. But this one just feels bigger. How do you kind of control those things, those emotions that are inevitable?
Yeah, it's the hype, right? It's the hype about opening day. It's the first one. You know, we worked all spring training. The guys towards the end, they were itching to go. You know, they want to get this done. You know, for me, I've been trying to tell them, hey, play like you played when you were a kid, right? Just another day. You want to go out there and catch the ball, hit the ball. And throw the ball. So, you know, just treat it as if you've been doing this. You know, but they're gonna be nervous, you know. And just remember, it's only one game. You know, that's the biggest thing. We got a lot to go. It's only one game.
Mackenzie Gore gets the ball for the first time in his career. He's here now. I mean, he's 26. He's the veteran. He's the mainstay, top of the rotation. What are you looking for today?
Yeah, he's, you know, as I said to him earlier, I said, hey, it's your time now. I mean, you showed early last year that you belong here, that you can compete and you can do well. I think for him it's about consistency. You know, he's going to go out there and attack the zone. You know, as long as he's throwing strikes, we're going to be in great shape, you know. But, hey, he's the guy. As you said, he's our guy, so he's going to open up today.
How much lineup tinkering do you envision yourself doing here in the first couple of weeks, couple of months? Or is it just, let me try something for a little while, see if it flows?
Yeah, you know, we're so left in heavy, which honestly, sometimes I really do like. In-game decisions are going to be different. You know, we'll see how we handle that. But I like how we match up against righties. Lefties, we might actually do something different. You know, I talked to Cruz, we went second all year. I had a conversation with him that, you know, I'm going to bat him down in the order some days, but some days I might end up hitting him up at the top. So we get all this, you know, as you know, we get all this information now. And, you know, the eyes, I always say the eyes never fail me. It really doesn't. So, you know, I'll be watching at bats, be watching what they do, and then we'll go from there.
Davey, it goes without saying, Dylan proves it and starts swinging it. You move him up, as you just said, but how do you have that debate internally? Because he's going to probably see more pitches to hit if you have him hitting in front of the big boys than maybe down at the bottom. So just helping him out as opposed to making that the priority over the best lineup. How does that work?
Yeah, for me, it's about swing decisions. You know, I want him to treat it as, hey, we just want him to get on base. When he gets on base down there, he flips the lineup up to the top, and that's awesome. You know, so and I always tell him, hey, after the first inning, you just become a hitter. Right, so you don't know when you're gonna. You might come up with bases loaded, you know, one at bat. So just focus on the at bat, focus on the pitch, and make good swing decisions.
My last one for you, Davey. In terms of pitching, this is still early in the season, and guys, you know, are tempted to compete, especially guys like Mackenzie Gore might want to redline a little bit. How do you sort of, again, kind of, you know, you don't want to take the reins off all the way, but you also want to still have access to the reins, maybe.
Yeah, we're definitely gonna have the reins, you know, but. Hey, you know, well, the biggest thing for him is to control his heartbeat, right? Focus on the moment, you know, and don't let it get too big on him. So understand where you're at, understand what you need to do, be with your feet on. You know, when he does that, he's really good.
Last thing, opening day message to Nats fans on their way to the ballpark as we speak, getting ready to file in here, hopefully 40,000 strong.
Hey, number one, I can't wait to see them all here. It'd be awesome. It's going to be an unbelievable day for everybody. And like I said before, they're the 27th man. These guys in this dugout feel it when they're here. They really do. So I'm excited for everybody, and let's go Nats.
Thank you, Davey. From the manager of the Nationals to one of the columnists in town who will be documenting their season, let's start with Davey Martinez. He was the manager of this club when they won the World Series in 2019, and he's been here with Mike Rizzo as this organization fell on hard times during a rebuild. It's time to get out of the rebuild, though. They got to start winning some ball games.
They're saying that, and I think it's the right thing to say. Like, we have rebuild fatigue. I think the whole town has rebuild fatigue. I went back and looked for a column I wrote. No team has come off a World Series win and backed it up with five seasons with a worse winning percentage than these Nationals since the, wait for it, 1913 Philadelphia A's. Mm. So,
by the way, it sounds crazy, but it feels right if you watch the baseball. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but it's a wild stat.
The stat is over these past 5 years, they played 407 ball. That's 66 win pace. Like, that's got to stop. Now, that's a 107 loss season the year they traded Soto. Like, that was the nadir. I get it. And on this field today, you know, from that trade, they're going to have Mackenzie Gore starting power lefty. They're going to have C.J. Abrams at short. They're going to have James Wood in left. Like, there's reason to believe that that was the right thing to do. And I think even in the moment, some of us felt like that's the hard but right thing to do. But at some point, it's got to pay dividends with wins at the big league level. It feels like this has got to be the year where some significant progress is made in that category.
Well, Barry, you touched on it. They seem internally very confident. And I would have had a different offseason if I was that confident. But, you know, who knows what the limitations are, and that's a whole different column. But do you think they're right? Like, the odds makers have them at 70.5 wins, lower than they were last year.
So I go over 70.5, but I'm tepid in my over. I'm not over like, oh, 82, 84, like we're in the playoff race. A lot of things would, I mean, that's an 11-win improvement. Where is the war out there coming from? In my mind, like, is Nate Lowe going to help you better defensively at third and maybe run into 20? Sure. Is Paul DeJong maybe going to be a veteran presence and help you get more offense at third? Probably. But the important things are still the important things, like Mackenzie Gore, build on your 30 plus starts, go more innings, have a lower ERA, win more games. CJ Abrams, don't be an idiot in the second half, be the first half all-star CJ Abrams and secure your spot as the shortstop of the future. And I don't think you can pencil in Dylan Cruz and James Wood for all their potential as plus-plus players in their first full season. Like, they'll be fun to watch, but those are developing stories. Not, we can't rate them as finished products, especially on a team that, it's, you know, when Bryce came up, he had Worth and Zim and all these pieces around Desmond. That's not the environment that these guys come up to.
I also think the Cruz and Wood conversation needs to be had a little differently, maybe locally, as we talked to Barry Sferlugo of the Washington Post. And what I mean by that is, when I hear Nats fans talking about these two, I don't know about you, it's like inexplicably they've got a couple of future MVP candidates. I think James Wood is the superstar potential big bopper. He could win an MVP award. Dylan Cruz is going to be an excellent player and a winner. And you're going to look every year and go, wait, he had 6 WAR? It's amazing defense in right. It's going to be all the little things on the base path. But tell me if you disagree with this. I think the conversation about him right now, and it's going to sound like I'm down on him, I'm not at all, but it's not correct. Like, this is a really good championship-winning player, but people, if they're expecting this MVP thing, are going to be disappointed, and I think we need to really shape the conversation better.
So I think you're right, and I'm not down on him in any way, but I think he has always been a high-floor guy, not as much a high-ceiling guy. Like, James Wood's high-ceiling, like, what he could become is really multiple time MVP. Like, he can run, he can hit for power, he can hit for average, all that stuff. I feel like Cruz arrives here closer to what he will become because he almost was a professional at LSU. The way he carries himself, like, he has very Bryce Harper vibes as a just ball player-ish vibes, but that doesn't translate to me to, like, you know, 1,000 OPS as a first or second year player. Like, he's not going to be bad. I think we can safely say that. But I think you're right. Anybody who's thinking he's like, I don't even think he's like leading candidate to be rookie of the year necessarily, right? Like, he'll be in the conversation, but it wouldn't surprise me to see him struggle and scuffle for long periods of times, you know, like any rookie would. I'm with you, Grant. Like, I think we need to ratchet back the 2025 expectations for Dylan Cruz.
And just generally, my thing is, again, I just keep hearing this whole, like, it's Cruz and Wood. And no, it's kind of Wood and Cruz in a sense. And what I mean by that is, I think Dylan Cruz will be the guy, if you ever slapped a C on somebody, it'd be on him. And the clubhouse ultimately will be run by him, and he'll do here what he did at LSU. But everyone thinks a superstar looks the same. Like, his ceiling of being awesome is just different looking. Wood is the guy that could be the judge or whatever.
Yeah, that's right. And that's because of the body. That's because of the skill set. That's because of all of that. And they are very, very different players. I mean, I think you can talk about them in a tandem because they're going to be the corner outfielders. Or, you know, one of them could be the center fielder at some point if Jacob Young doesn't hit. And they also have good outfield prospects on the way. So I don't think we have a finished product even as an outfielder. But if they're 1 and 1A in some order and they both are on the higher end of what they're supposed to become, then they've solved a lot. Like, then they've got two middle-of-the-order bats, and I hope Wood develops into a at least average defender. Cruz will be a plus defender in right or in center. That's the fun part about this season, but if we go back to the original point, like, the fun part has to be development while getting a few more wins, not just development, another 7-2 loss.
So, Barry Sferlugo with us here live on the field before opening day. For wax poetic here for a second, for those of us who grew up here, have been here for so long, this didn't seem possible, that there was baseball in here, that we're talking about, hey, we're disappointed after they won the World Series. I still kind of haven't fully grasped all that, for just pining for the sport to be here in this town and being a part of it in some ways the best. But just, what does this still mean to this sort of developing fan base and marketplace and the like?
So I think that's really a good point, Danny, because I do think it's different. Like, you know, I was a beat writer in 2005. And even in that chair, you're like, holy cow, yeah. This sport has returned. It means something to a city. It is the fabric of your summer. Like, it is the rhythm of everything you do for 6 months. And I think the way that this kind of ebbed and flowed was like that slow build to, okay, now we're competitive. We're competitive for 8 straight years, even the years they didn't win, they were expected to win. They were in that conversation. And so now, and I just talked to Mike Rizzo about this, like, you're on the other side of that now. Now you've got 20-year-old fans who don't know what it was like to not have a team in this town, and they know what it was like to win, and they have the right to say, wait, what kind of product are you putting on the field? I always say, you invest as a fan your time, your money, and your emotions. And if that's not rewarding in 2 out of those 3 or 3 out of those 3, then you ask yourself, what are you doing? The fans in this town are at a point where they can ask those questions because they've lived through the good and the bad.
Thanks for the time, Barry. I know you're closing in on watching your longtime colleague and legendary writer Thomas Boswell throw out the first pitch today. I think he could touch 60. We could see 60.
We could. I know he's put a lot of work in, and I know he analyzed that Nolan Ryan, when he did a first pitch at age 67, threw from the front of the mound. And so he said, that answers that question. I'm throwing from the front of the mound.
Good. Hey, it's good enough for Nolan Ryan. It's good enough for him.
Exactly. That's right. I'm excited.
Thank you, Barry.
Him. Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
appreciate
Barry.
It.
Welcome back to Nationals Park at 106.7 The Fan. Our coverage of 2025 opening day. Barry's for Luga, kind enough to stop by. Davey Martinez joining us as well. And we are now in the left field concourse where Nats fans are streaming into the ballpark on Grant and Danny. And there is an excitement in the air. The amount of people who have wished us a happy baseball new year. This is months and months in the making. And even though the ball club is not necessarily built to be a contender for anything meaningful in October this year, it doesn't change the joy of this day.
Not today. No, I mean, because you see, my neighbor pulled her granddaughter out of elementary school and drove her over. Yep, and that's what today is, right? I mean, that's what the whole deal is. This is the holiday. This is the, you put everything else aside. You hang out with your kid, your fathers, your sons, your daughters, your granddaughters, the whole nine yards. It's perfect, man. It is a beautiful weather day. It's not boiling hot, but it's better than you were used to here, quite frankly. Usually it's windy, rainy, freezing, miserable. This is, you know, kind of cold, but sun is out. It'll be a blast today.
I am seeing plenty of the gear over at the team store, the Cities Connects, flying off the shelves. I want to check in with Toby Altizer in just a moment over at the team store, because it seems to me like there's plenty of purchases being made. Everyone keeps talking about the cherry blossoms and how great they were and how you would like those cherry blossoms to be back. It's not up to the Nats. They're pulled, they're gone. But I think their new look is actually very, very popular.
People are buying them. And I've seen a lot of hats with that color, with that, kind of the new, the City Connect, I think is the appropriate nomenclature. I've seen a bunch of those. I've seen a few jerseys. There's a Dylan Cruz jersey with the City Connect right next to us now, for example. But yeah, it is a popular deal, man. When you kind of go big and go bold like that, you like it rewarded, and it certainly seems to be.
All right, let's go over to the team store right now and to Toby to try to get a feel for how people are feeling about the new kits.
I'm Toby Altizer out here checking in from the team store. We got Andrew and Jalen. Andrew, you're checking out the new City Connect gear. You like it?
I do like it. I'm looking for a nice Cruz jersey to rock for the Nationals, you know?
Jalen, you like the new City Connects?
I do like them. I do like them a lot.
What's the play here? We go in jersey? We go in hat? Are we going both? What are we doing here?
We might have to go both, but, you know, mainly jersey for sure.
I'm going to go with the ball cap.
Whose jersey? You say Cruz?
Yeah, Cruz.
You getting a jersey, though?
I am not getting a jersey now.
All right, well, that's it for the team store. Back to you guys down on the field.
All right, we'll keep Toby busy checking in from all over the ballpark.
Like one of everything.
Day.
I like that.
Here on 106.7, the Fan Charlie and Dave pregame coming up in just a few. One of my pet peeves and an observation more than a complaint, I would say, over the recent years. It's nobody's fault, really, but you don't see a lot of jerseys of current players at Nats Park. There aren't players for an extended period of time over 3-4 years that maybe you'd go to the store to buy the jersey of anyway.
That's right.
So I don't blame the fans. I understand. That's what happens in a rebuild. And when your player of the year 2 straight years is Lane Thomas, who feels like a rental, who's just an okay big leaguer anyway,
you're not going out to buy merch. But I do hope that that starts to change. You know, last year I'm walking around and there was a day where me and my buddy were here on a weekend. We played a little bingo of like taking inventory of jerseys, and it's Zim, and you still see some worse. It's a lot of Sotos and Scherzers.
On cue, there's a Trey Turner just walked by.
Right, Rendon's and Turner's.
Yeah.
I really hope we start to see it. You've now got the options of the 29 Wood, the three Crews. Abrams himself is a mainstay and a guy who could very well sign a long-term extension here. He's not a Boris guy. Could be here for the long haul. I think it's time that that starts to change, too. It's up to the team, too. They've got to market these players. I want billboards. Right now, all the billboards we see, there's one that has James Wood or Dylan Crews on it on this parking garage. You know, it's got Mackenzie Gore, Dylan Crews, Abrams, Luis Garcia. Like, that's what I want more of. I got a Screech. I got, you know, a Davey Martinez kissing a trophy, and I love Davey. He just joined us. 2019 was 5 years ago, six seasons ago.
Yeah.
It is time to have James Wood's poster the size of that parking garage with, like, sweat beating up and his eyeballs staring right at you.
Agreed.
Let's do that.
Yeah, it's twofold. One is that it's, you know, marketing the kids like you're talking about, because that's who we're all here to see. That's the future. That's the now, right? It's these guys developing and taking their next step into what they believe is going to be a competitive team. That's part one. But part two is, you know, there's got to be some winning that goes along with it. There's a reason you still see that Zimmerman, the Jordan Zimmerman, the Trey Turner, the Rendon, the Hart, all these different guys. They put up 95 win seasons pretty much every other year for a decade, and we're in the playoffs all the time. You go to a game and you see him win enough times, not a 71-91 team for a couple straight years. That's not as exciting to people, right? When you're going and your heroes are there every night for you for the better part of a decade, that's when you're more likely to kind of, you know, pitch in and grab that some of that nostalgia in that jersey. There's not enough buy-in just yet because they haven't won enough. They're hoping to change that this year. So, A, yes, marketing 100% with you, rubber stamp that. The second part, though, is maybe let the rubber meet the road a little bit. Some of the rhetoric where they think they're going to be a lot better, maybe they are. Now you start to see that turn, I think.
That is the voice of Danny Ruhier every single day right here on 106.7 The Fan. Grant and Danny from 2 to 6.30. Nobody talks more Washington Nationals than we do, and we're excited to be able to say that and be back at Nats Park for another home opener. This time, for real, it is opening day. The season kicks off at 4:05 this afternoon. Season number 20 of Charlie and Dave on the call. We are your flagship home. We will have their pregame coming up at 3:35. Let's get you your lineup next. There were a couple of surprises today from Davey Martinez as he put pen to paper. We'll get you that in moments right here from Nats Park, live on The Fan.
Hey, Nats fans, this is closer Kyle Finnegan, and you're listening to the show that talks more Nationals than anybody else in town, Grant and Danny. And you're listening to the 2025 opening day coverage on 106.7 The Fan.